Welcome to Dealcast, the voice of Merger Market, the world's leading publication about mergers and acquisitions. I'm Juliana Needham, a journalist who's been covering M&A for over a decade. Now, in this episode, we are going big. The biggest ever leveraged buyout in history. The $55 billion take private of Electronic Arts is a huge cross-border deal, and it's one that involves Donald Trump's son-in-law, a Middle Eastern sovereign wealth fund, a major Silicon Valley investor, and a star banker. So in this episode, we're finding out how the deal will play out with regulators around the globe. To find out more, I'm joined by Ruben Miller, who is the Global Chief Regulatory Editor. Hi, Ruben. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much, Juliana. Great to be on.
So to begin with, could we do a bit of a recap of the deal? What is Electronic Arts? What are the franchises that it has? What does it do?
Electronic Arts is one of the premier video game builders in the world, top of the tier in that industry. They make name brand titles like Madden NFL, The Sims, Need for Speed, Battlefield. Inside and out of the gaming industry, these are really household names. These are some of the biggest names out there, AAA names.
Okay, so a huge gaming company, a global one. Can we have a look at the cast of characters involved in this deal? Because it's a really interesting consortium, and we've also got a kind of a star banker involved as well.
Sure. It's the biggest leveraged buyout, all cash leveraged buyout in history, topping out around $55 billion. One of the primary stakeholders here is the Saudi Arabia-backed sovereign wealth fund, PIF, Public Investment Fund, who had an existing stake in EA and is rolling that over. But the nature of that investor, of that partner in this consortium, is really crucial to how the transaction will wind itself through the regulatory process. Secondly, we have Affinity Partners, which was founded by Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law. He really seems to have been the go-between that architected this deal and kept negotiations flowing. He's truly a linchpin in how this came together, and I suspect in how it's going to proceed during its pendency. As well, we have Silver Lake Partners out of Silicon Valley joining in that consortium to round it out.
Okay, and also we've got JP Morgan providing the debt.
Sure, yeah. Major financing component here. Not exactly sure how that's going to evolve and what that's going to look like, but this is a major tranche of debt that needs to be handled.
Okay, so you are here to talk about regulatory approvals. So let's have a look at the regulatory approvals that this deal needs. It's going to need antitrust approval from across the globe. Can you outline what those main bodies are, main jurisdictions that will need to give approval?
Sure. The antitrust approvals here are, how shall I say this? The concern is less traditional, right? Given that, I mean, the PIF, Saudi Arabia's PIF, does have some presence in other video game manufacturers. I suspect the traditional horizontal market overlaps are not of real concern here. So yes, it will need to be approved in the U.S. with the HSR Act. It will need foreign approvals. The antitrust case-specific facts are not overly concerning here. The major regulatory approvals that we're really looking at is with CFIUS, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., which screens foreign investment for national security concerns. And the need for that approval was disclosed in the merger agreement. And traditionally, this is something that may raise eyebrows, you know, going back to TikTok and other state-connected social media and data aggregators. This is something that the U.S. government is traditionally pretty concerned about, personally sensitive information on U.S. citizens that could potentially flow to a foreign state-influenced actor is something that raises red flags at CFIUS. This is kind of the dynamic that we saw that launched the TikTok controversy of a few years ago that's still pending. In, you know, because EA and because of the nature of modern gaming, EA scoops up a ton of data on game players around the world, including U.S. citizens. And this is fully disclosed in their privacy policies, but they're looking at account information and geolocation information. They're looking at actual gameplay and communications during gameplay. They're looking at third-party accounts that might be linked, Facebook accounts and Google accounts. So this is something that traditionally CFIUS would take a good hard look at. In the past, they've raised red flags that have become insurmountable, and I'm thinking of the TikTok transactions. In this case, you know, maybe it's something that CFIUS could request some kind of mitigation, a data firewall that would prevent U.S. citizens' data from flowing to Saudi Arabia. But because of Jared Kushner's involvement, there's been a large kind of sentiment reverberate in Wall Street that there's going to be a soft approach from CFIUS about this transaction. So CFIUS and the national security screen has emerged as kind of the first primary hurdle that needs to be overcome here. There's a lot of thought that Kushner's involvement may ease that path, but I think there may be some complications, you know, as this is eased the domestic regulatory path in the U.S. for this transaction. I think it might inject a little risk when this transaction seeks approvals abroad.
I guess there's no precedent under Donald Trump. You mentioned TikTok, but that was at a different point in time. What do we know about CFIUS and its approach to big deals under Donald Trump's second term?
There has not been a lot of data points to look at as far as CFIUS enforcement over the last 10 months or so. Early on, there was some movement around executive orders, creating a fast path for approval for allies, kind of reinforcing some of the language that we've historically seen about adversaries having to file more often, having to file when it's not completely obvious they need to. But we really don't have a lot of data points to go from. What we have seen, and this is apart from CFIUS to a large degree, is that the regulatory apparatus in the Trump 2.0 administration has largely bent to the White House's will. And I'm thinking of antitrust regulators in the U.S., the FTC and DOJ, the FCC especially. They've made it very clear that the executive, the president, controls the regulatory environment in the U.S. That has occurred on a number of different fronts, and I would suspect that CFIUS will go down that route as well. I suppose, you know, the clearest, starkest example that we've seen so far has been U.S. Steel, Nippon Steel, where I think Trump did the right thing. I think the CFIUS review under the Trump administration was actually a more sober exercise than what we saw under the Biden administration. So all that said, they're going to go through the motions. They're going to do their review. But at the end of the day, the president actually has to sign off on any kind of blocking order. The prospect of him doing that for a Jared Kushner linked deal, essentially blocking the deal, is very hard for me to see. I think that indeed the sentiment that we've seen that this will get a soft touch review from CFIUS is likely going to be borne out here.
Okay, so one to watch. But can we look now at the foreign regulatory approvals? And these are going to be antitrust approvals.
I think they will be antitrust approvals, Juliana. In the merger agreement, they use vague language around where they're going to need to file appropriate foreign jurisdictions, I believe. I think that's very likely and pretty obviously going to include the UK Competition and Markets Authority It will include the European Commission. At the European Commission, there will also be a foreign subsidies regulation review. I think that could be an interesting thing to watch here, where they're looking for foreign state assistance for a ongoing entity that might distort the competitive landscape. So of the kind of main Western players that we've touched on already, I'm looking at the FSR regime at the European Commission as being one of the key clearances that must be overcome here.
An FSR, the Foreign State Regulator?
Foreign Subsidies Regulation Act.
Foreign Subsidies Regulation Act. Okay, and then moving on a little bit further away, we've got China. How is China going to see this deal, and could it use it for some political leverage?
I think that's exactly the rub, Juliana. I think that's really where my attention is going to turn to. You know, as we get done describing the regulatory treatment in the U.S., and that it's likely to be preferential given Jared Kushner's status, unique status as a quasi-SOE himself. Yes, of course, it's going to get preferential domestic regulatory treatment. The other edge of that sword, however, is that abroad, especially an adversarial trade partner, adversarial trade nations, I think there might be more suspicion. I think it might generate more scrutiny. And in the regulatory environment that we've seen, especially since the trade wars have come to the fore, this is exactly the kind of transaction where the Chinese will take a look and say, look, we can exert pressure on the Trump administration, on Trump himself, by using this transaction, by raking it over the coals. This is something that Trump is going to want to see consummate. And if we are able to, which we can discuss, we're going to take a look here. We're going to hold it up. We're going to make some demands. And are they demands that need to be satisfied by the emerging parties, or are they demands put on the Trump administration in tangential areas? And I think that's the most interesting thing about this transaction, is that when Trump has endorsed a transaction, wants it to go through, especially China, but any other foreign jurisdiction that can take a bite at this thing, I think they will be opportunistic about. I think they will claim jurisdiction. I think they will put it into an extended investigation, and they may make some demands on the transaction itself or on the Trump administration more broadly.
Okay, and we need to finish there, but can you just tell us when it will be wrapped up by? When is the date that the parties hope to get the deal finished?
They're saying end of EA's fiscal year 2027, I believe, which comes out to, you know, June 2026 or so is their target deadline, though that can be extended in marginal amounts should regulatory approvals not have been secured.
And of course, we know that lots of things can happen with Trump in the White House, so who knows what will happen by then. Ruben, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks very much. That was Ruben Miller, who is the Global Chief Regulatory Editor. And just to point out, we are recording this on Tuesday, the 7th of October. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed listening, please follow the podcast. And if you're on an app that supports it, please give us a rating and review. To find out more about what we've been talking about, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.